She thought about these things as she saw this lion. And you know what? She knew about that prophecy. She Luke 3:33. She was from the line of Judah. She knew that her son was going to be a lion. She knew that he would come up with all power in his head.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of The Lion Sleeps Tonight. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of The Lion Sleeps Tonight.
Book of Revelation, and it says, who is worthy to open the scroll? Who is worthy to loose the seals off of the scroll? Back on the first page, you see the context. Let's turn to Revelation 5. Revelation chapter 5. Y'all stay with me now. I'm going somewhere. Revelation chapter 5. We see, first of all, in Revelation 5, if you want to follow along in the outline, we see the proclamation. That's in verses 1 and 2. A call goes out for someone who is worthy to open the scroll that is in the hand of the one seated on the throne. Here is the Father on the throne, and he has a scroll rolled up in his hand. Now, I don't have time to get into it like I did on Wednesday night in the book of Revelation, but basically, and most commentators agree, that this scroll was the title deed to the earth. The title deed to the earth, that this scroll unfolded the history of the world from time past to time in the future. This scroll involved what would happen during the period identified as a tribulation. What would be identified as in the period of 1,000 years? What would be identified when the new heaven, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem throughout eternity, that this scroll contained all that, and it was in the hand of the one who sat on the throne. And there was a proclamation that went out and said, who's worthy? Who's worthy to open the scroll that holds the title deed to the earth? And there in verse 3 went out an investigation. There was no one found in heaven, on earth, or under the earth that was worthy to open the scroll. Nobody was found. And then that leads us to the lamentation. And John says that I wept because no one was able to open the title deed to the earth. There was no one found worthy to open it. Oh, but then in verses 5 through 7, we see the manifestation. And that is that there was one who came. And who is this one who came? John, through the power of the Holy Spirit, travels back hundreds of years. Travels back chapter after chapter in the Bible, all the way back to Genesis 40. Woo! All the way back to Genesis 49. And here he is, some 1,500 years or more later, saying, who is worthy to open this scroll? And he looks, and he says, here he comes right here. And how does he identify him? The lion from the tribe of Judah. He reaches back to Genesis 49:10 and pulls this concept of the Messiah out and says that here he is, right here, the lion from the tribe of Judah. And as we go back to that first Christmas night, we see that the lion, and as the lion slept with all this potential in him, with all this glory wrapped up, John said he came in the flesh and tabernacled among us. That he took upon the form of a flesh. The incarnation, God became man. The lion became a babe. And the lion was asleep. And as we think about the power of the sleeping lion, look back in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And as Mary thought about the fact that she was pregnant and she never had sex with a man. It says in chapter 2, verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Where was she at? She was looking at the lion that was asleep. She was looking at this one who was prophesied in Genesis 49, this lion who was asleep. She was looking at him. The Bible says that she pondered all these things in her heart, that she thought about the visit from the angel who told her that she was going to be with child. The visit that told Joseph that everything was going to be all right. Because Joseph was getting ready to divorce her. He was getting ready to put her away. Why? Because he knew that they hadn't been intimate at that point. And that, you know, it's like I tell people before. You know, if my wife would have came to me and said, you know, that she was with child, and I know it wasn't mine, I would need an angel to come and tell me that. I'd need an angel to come and let me know that. And so, Mary pondered these things in her heart. She thought about these things as she saw this lion. And you know what? She knew about that prophecy. Luke 3:33. She was from the line of Judah. She knew that her son was going to be a lion. She knew that he would come up with all power in his hand. And it says that she pondered these things in her heart. How did these shepherds know to come here tonight? How did they know they were supposed to be here this evening? Mary pondered these things in her heart. All the other events surrounding the birth of her son, Mary pondered these things in her heart. The Advent challenge to us is, if you once again refer to your notes, when Mary looked at the sleeping lion, she had many thoughts. She no doubt thought about how he was conceived, the visit by the angels, the presence of the shepherds, and many other events surrounding the birth of Christ. This led her to ponder these things in her heart. Like Mary, we should take some time this Advent season to reflect upon the power of Christmas. Stop right now and let us just reflect upon the power of Christmas. Reflect upon the power that was manifested right there in that manger. How can we do that? I was doing some research and I found this. I'm going to share this as we think about how we can ponder the power of Christmas, how we can encounter the power of Christmas. Let's not float through this time. I was watching the TV this morning and the newsman. I think that the people at the mall is going to get upset with him because the lady asking, the co-anchor or the lady that was anchoring, asked the weatherman, how's the weather for shopping today? He said, oh, the weather's all right, but I don't think that people want to go to the malls. And she said, well, why is that? He said, because it's crazy. He said, you got to wait in line for, you know, traffic, cars going back and forth. And he said, I don't think you want to go. And the lady said, look, we don't want the malls to write us now, so we're going to let you know. So, I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy out there. Let's learn a lesson from Mary. What did Mary do? She didn't give up after she delivered her child and go shopping. She didn't get up and start fixing. It said that she pondered these things in her heart. She reflected upon the power of Christmas. The Advent challenge. Let me share some things with you. And I gave the reference where I got this from. Number one, take a night, turn off the TV. Turn on the Christmas lights. Maybe turn on Christmas music and listen to the words. For some of you, you'll probably be surprised at what these Christmas songs are actually saying. Amen. Take one of the fun and familiar Christmas songs, like Frosty the Snowman, Jingle Bells, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I was at a church one time, and the guy said he wanted to sing a song. And the pastor said, well, come on up, man. He knew the guy could sing. He said, what do you want to sing? He said, I want to sing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. He said, that's not a Christian song. You can't sing that. He said, yes, it is. He said, look at the theological implications. Rudolph was rejected by the other reindeers. Christ was rejected. He had a red nose that symbolized the blood of Christ. I don't know. That's kind of theologically stretching it a little bit. But, you know, to take some of those songs and maybe with your kids, sit down and just begin to put different words to the song. The guy, he said, here's an example. Frosty the Snowman. You can sing to the words of Frosty the Snowman. Jesus, our Savior, was born on Christmas Day. On a bed of hay is where he lay, while the horse nearby said nay. You know, you can see now. You really want me to get corny now. That's, you know, it's like the guy. Now, I wasn't gonna tell this one, but I'm gonna go ahead and tell it now since y'all didn't laugh at that one. About the guy, him and his giraffe went to the bar and they started drinking, and they both got drunk, and the giraffe fell out, and the man got ready to leave, and the bartender said, you're not going to leave that lion here, are you? He said, man, don't you know the difference between a lion and a giraffe? You're talking about lions this morning, right? Lions. All right. All right. So, I mean, some creative ways to ponder the power of Christmas. Light some candles or light a fire in the fireplace. Turn off the light and sit in a peaceful and quiet place and talk to God. Take time to listen and reflect. This is one thing I like to do right here. Go outside on a clear night and enjoy the majesty of the stars. Imagine being one of the wise men, the magi, who saw a star and followed it all the way to Bethlehem. Encounter the power of Christmas. This is a powerful concept. This is a powerful time. And a lot of times we disengage from the power of that child lying in the manger. Get up early before the rest of the family and read from the Bible and pray in the quiet. Or sit down at a window and watch the sunrise. Allow God's greatness, power, and love to impact you in a new way. Find some time when the church is empty and turn on the Christmas lights and spend time with God in his house reading and praying. And then, to assist your listening, find some creative way to respond to God. Draw a picture. Write a letter. Record your thoughts in a writing. Compose a song. Write a poem. Get with your kids. Maybe bake some cookies and talk about it. I know the other night, man, we took my grandkids to Hardwood Acres. Oh, my goodness. Man, what a valuable investment in an evening. And just to be able to talk about the Lord as we rode through. Man, I tell you, my wife and I, just when we came and finished, we just kind of looked at each other and said, man, that was a powerful experience. Because we just didn't see the lights. We looked back at God. And so that was actually a time that we had to worship, you know, with our grandkids. Now, my grandson, he didn't understand too much. He was just like looking at the lights, you know. And my granddaughter was too. But, you know, we were able to reflect back on what this meant. You know, that this is our, the lights are about God. What a powerful, just in the middle of a hectic week, as we were winding down at the end of a hectic week, just to be able to go and reflect. And then, you know, I had some people pulling up behind me trying to rush me. I said, look, I paid my $10 for this car. You're not going to rush me through this now. You're not going to rush me through. And I politely pulled my car over and went like that. Go ahead. I'm going to enjoy this ride. You know, I'm not going to let you take my Christmas joy away. Amen. So what did Mary do? Mary pondered, as we move on, we ought to encounter the power of Christmas. Encounter the power. In the scripture, we see that there are several designations given to the Lamb. And we see, first of all, and I don't have time to read all these this morning, so we'll just hit them and go on through. But mainly, if you'll just stay in the book of Revelation, we'll look at these passages in Revelation. The lion has authority, according to Amos chapter 3 and verse 8. And we see that Christ has all authority in Revelation 1 In verse 15, John is giving a description of Christ. And in verse 15, he says, "And his feet like fine bronze, as if they had been burned in a furnace." And it says, "And his voice like the sound of many waters." Just like that lion roars, that lion goes around and roars, that symbolically Christ roars, that he has all power, he has all authority. And that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Why? Because he has all authority. A lion has authority. In the animal kingdom, Jesus Christ has all authority. The lion is the king of beasts, according to Micah 5:8. The lion is the king of beasts. Jesus Christ is King of Kings. Look at Revelation 17. Revelation 17. And verse 14. "These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings." The lion is king of beasts. Christ is King of kings. The lion is feared by all in the animal kingdom. In Genesis 49:9, it says that once a lion is asleep, you don't want to wake him up, because he's going to wake up ferocious. And so people fear waking up a lion. And we see that Jesus Christ is feared or revered by those who know him. That if you know Christ, you fear him. But you don't fear him like the unsaved do, or those that don't know him, because the ones that don't know him, they fear him another way. We fear him and we revere him. The unsaved, they fear him and they are afraid of him. They are afraid. Well, you're telling me, "I'm not afraid of Christ." Well, maybe not now. Maybe not now. Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 15. And this is after six seals have been opened. And we have seen famine. And we have seen death. And we have seen war. And we have seen bloodshed. We have seen martyrdom. We have seen all type of devastation upon the earth. In verse 15, "And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every slave and every man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said unto the rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of the one that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb." Fear, they fear him. You might not be afraid of him now, but you will be one day. All will fear him. And these folk who lifted their hand and shook their hand in the face of God and said, "Take your control off of my life. Take your cords off my life." One day, they're going to call on the mountains to hide them from the one who sits on the throne and the Lamb. The lion is feared in the animal kingdom. The lion is unmerciful and ferocious. Isaiah said that the lion takes his prey and tears it open with his teeth. Without mercy, he just rips it. Now, I was watching one of these shows, National Geographic or something, and they showed this baby, I think it was a gazelle or something that couldn't get away, and the lion caught it. Now, you know, National Geographic, it's not a program for kids to watch sometimes. Because this lion just, without mercy, just killed this animal. I mean, just ran it down and clubbed it, and it just lit into it. Without mercy. And that's the way that the lion does. Well, you know, one day Jesus Christ is going to light into folks. He's going to light into some folks. He's going to club them, and he's going to tear them apart. But unlike the lion, who is unmerciful, and he is giving people opportunities to come to him, he is giving people, the Bible said that the long-suffering of the Lord works repentance. It said that God is long-suffering and not willing that any should perish. God is patient with folk right now. And God is showing love. God is not like the lion. God is not ripping into folk. If he did, man, we might not be anybody sitting here this morning. We're here because of the grace of God. That God is long-suffering. God is good. But sad to say, one day, like the lion, Jesus Christ is going to rip into some folks. And you know what? It's not going to be a pretty sight. Look at Revelation 19. It's not going to be a pretty sight when Jesus ripped into folks. We better jump in his mercy and his grace. We better experience his mercy and his grace, because one day we're going to experience his wrath. It says in verse 11, Revelation 19, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and his head on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies were with him in heaven, followed him upon the white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he shall tread the winepress, the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath a name on his vesture and on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowl," look at this lion, look what this lion did, "the lion from the tribe of Judah that fly in heaven, come and gather yourself unto the great supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and slave, both small and great." Man, that's going to be some lion. This lion is going to tear into folks. The lion from the tribe of Judah is going to tear in to some people. Thank God that he's not going to tear into me like that. Thank God that I fear him, but I'm not afraid of him. Thank God that I fear him, that I revere him. And one day, this lion is going to let loose his full fury upon his prey. But right now, he's being gracious, and he's being kind, and he's being loving, and he's being merciful. Why don't you come on in? Why don't you come on in? And then finally, we see this lion, the lion's power. Samson, when he killed that lion, he gave that riddle. And he said, "What is more powerful than a lion?" You know, the lion is one of the most powerful creatures on the earth. One of the most powerful creatures on the earth. And a lion has power, but Jesus Christ has all power. Amen. Revelation 5, verse 12. These multitudes of individuals saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature that is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and glory and honor and what? Power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." The lion has power, but Jesus Christ has all power. Oh, my brothers and sisters, as we close at this time, in your mind, take a trip back with me to that first Christmas night. Take a trip back with me and see that lion from the tribe of Judah. The lion was asleep. The songwriter said, "The lion sleeps tonight." And you know what? That's what Christmas is all about. Christmas is all about the lion sleeps tonight. But as we looked at the message today, we see that one day the lion is going to be ordered. The lion has already been awoken. And we see the power of the lion.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Come Let Us Adore Him. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, "The Lion Sleeps Tonight," you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request "The Lion Sleeps Tonight." That's anchoredinjesus.org and request "The Lion Sleeps Tonight." Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.